And the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. I've got an interesting study that came out of Brigham and Women's Hospital. It's a new review paper from investigators there, and it strengthens the link between insufficient vitamin D levels during pregnancy and childhood wheezing and asthma in the baby. They published the review in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. So what this suggests is that prenatal vitamin D reduces a child's risk of asthma. Now, vitamin D deficiency is very common, especially in pregnant women who are not taking supplements. And this is, the study author is Scott Weiss. He's an associate director of the Channing Division of Network Medicine at Brigham Women's Hospital, and he's a professor at Harvard. Based on the findings, they recommend all pregnant women consider a daily intake of at least 4,400 units of vitamin D3 throughout their pregnancy, starting at time of conception. So what this means is if you or your daughter or someone that you love is considering pregnancy, considering trying to have a baby, vitamin D should be on board when she conceives. Now, you know, there's no bad time to add vitamin D to a pregnant woman's regimen, but the best time is before she conceives. But 4,400 units is one of the higher recommendations I've ever heard from a medical expert other than the endocrinology group. They have recommendations about that high. Vitamin D is a nutrient from sunlight exposure, diet, or supplements. It's considered essential to bone health, but it also has a role in autoimmune and other illnesses. And this review links vitamin D deficiency to childhood asthma and wheezing, which is a major cause of illness in young children. About 4 out of 10 kids report daily wheezing by the time they are 3 years old. And by age 6, 1 in 5 children are diagnosed with asthma. Now, the reality is somewhere around 90% of people in North America do not get adequate vitamin D. And vitamin D is hard to get from foods. We are supposed to get it from sunlight, but when we wear sunscreen or when our bodies are covered up in the colder months of the year, we can't get the vitamin D. So fortification of dairy products is one way that people get vitamin D, but there's not a lot of vitamin D in a vitamin D-enriched yogurt or milk. So the need for supplementation is clear, and there are, there's just no downside to a woman taking that amount of vitamin D3. You want to make sure that the vitamin D supplement is vitamin D3 and not vitamin D2, because some of the supplements may be plant-based, and they may not be vitamin D3. So Carlson has a vitamin D3 single drop dose of 2,000 units if in a plant-based D3, and that would be ideal for a woman that doesn't want to take a typical vitamin D. Typical vitamin D is sourced from lanolin, and it isn't, there's not a cruelty issue as far as the animal's concerned. They get the lanolin when they shear the sheep, and then they shine ultraviolet light through it, and it forms vitamin D3 the way that our skin does when we get sunlight on our skin. But nonetheless, there are some people that don't want to take the lanolin-derived vitamin D, so a plant-based vitamin D. You want to make sure that it's vitamin D3. So how do you know? Well, the vitamin D3 is described as cholecalciferol. Vitamin D2, which is in some of the plant-based vitamin Ds, is ergo, E-R-G-O, ergocalciferol. That's not the one that you want. You want the cholecalciferol. So this is an important finding. It is, the Harvard doctors recommend a supplement of 6,000 units of vitamin D, and they're actually going to enroll, they're going to do a new study, and they're going to enroll a big number of women of color, because women of color have even lower levels of vitamin D, so they're going with 6,000 units. Now, you can get daily supplement vitamin D doses anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 units, and 10,000 units would be an upper limit for a daily dose. But somewhere around 4,000, 5,000 is what most people take. We have a 6,000 in a drop, a single drop that's 6,000 units at Carlson. So carlsonlabs.com. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends of 400 international units for newborns of breastfeeding mothers from birth onward. So in utero, mom's going to pass the vitamin D along to the baby, and this is where the baby is going to get that protection from asthma and allergies if mom is getting somewhere around 4,000 units a day of vitamin D. So this is just an important thing. It's kind of a new development. We know that vitamin D is critically important for health, but pregnancy requiring 4,000 units from conception forward, that's new. And it was 4,400, so you really probably would want to go with 5,000 or more. Red meat consumption has been linked to increased risk of type 2 diabetes, and replacing red meat with plant-based protein sources is advised. This is the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And this applies to both processed and unprocessed red meat, and they're recommending one serving a week. So, and there's increased risk at two servings per week. So in this particular study, it was 22,000 people. Well, it was 216,000 people from the Nurses' Health Study and the Health Professionals Follow-Up Study. In that time, about 10% of them developed type 2 diabetes, and they found that consumption of red meat, including processed and unprocessed, was strongly associated with an increased risk of type 2 diabetes. The people in the study that ate the most red meat had a 62% higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes compared to those who ate the least. Every additional daily serving of processed red meat was associated with a 46% greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and every additional daily serving of unprocessed red meat was associated with a 24% greater risk. Substituting a serving of nuts and legumes instead of red meat was a 30% lower risk. Substituting a serving of dairy products was associated with a 22% lower risk. So swapping out red meat for healthy plant protein sources, this was Harvard did this research, is what's being recommended. So beans, not beef. I've said it before. And then finally, vitamin K deficiency is linked to poor lung function, asthma, COPD, and more. People with low levels of vitamin K in their blood may suffer from poor lung function and conditions like asthma or COPD. And vitamin K is found in leafy green vegetables, in cereal grains. It plays a role in blood clotting, and it helps the body to heal wounds. But vitamin K also improves lung function, and it is part and parcel of keeping our lungs healthy. Vitamin K1 is the one that's found in green leafy vegetables, like kale, spinach, and broccoli. Vitamin K2 is prevalent in fermented foods like natto, which is a soybean ferment, but also liver, egg yolks, fatty meats, dairy products, and some hard cheeses. And you can get vitamin K in a single drop supplement. You can get a combination of vitamin D and vitamin K in a single drop supplement at carlsonlabs.com. This is Food for Thought. I'm going out for a message from my sponsor, carlsonlabs.com, and we will be right back in 2 minutes. Stay with me.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about fish oil. Did you know a single teaspoon of Carlson, the very finest fish oil, provides 1,600 milligrams of omega-3s to promote heart, brain, vision, joint, and immune health? It's made from high-quality, sustainably sourced, deep cold water fish and has won numerous awards for its taste and quality. Try it in lemon, orange, mixed berry, or just peachy flavor. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about vitamin D. Stronger bones, heart and muscle health, boosted immunity, all by taking Carlson Vitamin D. We're proud to offer strengths and forms for the whole family. Choose from convenient liquid drops for babies, adults, and kids, soft gels in strengths from 1,000 to 10,000 IUs, or delicious vegetarian gummies. Try them today. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more.
No doubt you've heard a lot about the health benefits of vitamin D. Now you can get your vitamin D in a base of the healthiest omega-3s. Carlson Solar D Gems provides both. Carlson Solar D Gems provides 2,000 to 4,000 IU of all natural vitamin D3, a vitamin that many people do not get enough of from the sun alone. In fact, many health experts are now claiming that most Americans are lacking in this important nutrient. Vitamin D3 plays an important role in bone, cardiovascular, and immune health. Plus, Carlson Solar D Gems also contains the important omega-3 oils that your body needs to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. The omega-3s support the absorption of the vitamin D. You get the benefits of both. Carlson Solar D Gems, vitamin D in a base of omega-3s. Look for Carlson Solar D Gems at your favorite natural food store today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I'm back, and I want to talk about the Western diet and specifically how it impacts health. The Western dietary pattern includes high intakes of saturated fats and refined carbohydrates and low intakes of plant-based foods, and evidence links it with various chronic diseases. The Western diet is also known as the Standard American Diet, abbreviated SAD, and it is the dietary pattern of many people in the U.S. And we know that eating a diet that's high in fruits and vegetables has many health benefits, like decreasing the risk of many chronic conditions and helping maintain a moderate weight. Only around 1 in 10 adults in the U.S. meets the recommended fruit and vegetable intake. In 2019, a study found that dietary factors drive more than $50 billion in annual health care costs in the U.S. related to conditions like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and stroke. So I wanted to talk about the standard American diet, high in processed foods, high in saturated fats, high in carbohydrates. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that most individuals in the U.S. do not eat a healthy diet because they consume too much saturated fat, sugar, and sodium. People consuming the standard American diet likely have a high intake of sodium, red meats, trans fats, saturated fats, processed meats, refined grains, that's white flour products, high-fat dairy products, sugar-sweetened beverages, ultra-processed foods, and alcohol. So the standard American diet is not a balanced diet. Now, the Dietary Guidelines for Americans, published in 2020, meant to take us from 2020 to 2025, say that it's best to eat a diet that includes nutrient-dense foods and beverages from across various food groups. So a healthy dietary pattern would include grains, most of which would be whole grains, fruits in all colors, and we're talking about whole fruits, vegetables in a variety of colors, and beans and peas and lentils, fat-free or low-fat dairy products like milk, yogurt, cheese, or their lactose-free alternatives, lean protein such as poultry, eggs, seafood, nuts, and soy products, and healthy fats, so olive oil, nuts, and avocado. A diet like that would mean that people are likely to be closer to getting all the essential nutrients required to maintain good health. On the other hand, the standard American diet is low in several vital micronutrients, which may lead to impaired immune function and negatively affect health. The following percentages of the U.S. population have inadequate levels of key immune-related micronutrients. 45% of the U.S. population inadequate in vitamin A, 46% inadequate with vitamin C, 95% of the U.S. population inadequate for vitamin D. Now, remember, we just talked about vitamin D supporting a healthy pregnancy and helping that baby not have allergies and asthma. And 95% of the U.S. population has inadequate levels of vitamin D. 84% inadequate levels of vitamin E. 15% inadequate levels of zinc. So, as well as whole grains, colorful fruits, and whole fruits, not fruit juice, colorful vegetables, beans, peas, lentils, low-fat dairy products, lean proteins, poultry, eggs, seafood, nuts, soy products, healthy fats like olive oil, avocado. People can also include seeds, so pumpkin seeds, that's what I mean when I say seeds, lean meats, remember, one serving a week on the unprocessed red meats is really the optimal amount. And seafood. Now, eating the standard American diet over a long period can contribute to the development of overweight and obesity. Obesity affects now 42% of adults and 20% of children and adolescents in the U.S. Obesity, not overweight. Obesity, meaning a body mass index of 30 or higher. 42% of adults, 20% of children. This occurs when the energy intake from food is significantly higher than the energy expenditure from physical activity, causing a person to gain weight. And there are a lot of factors, genetics, activity levels, and also socioeconomic status that contribute to obesity. One significant factor is the types and amounts of foods and beverages that a person consumes. The standard American diet includes vast amounts of ultra-processed foods, which are high in calories, sugar, salt, fat, and contain minimal whole foods. Examples of ultra-processed foods include white bread, sweetened breakfast cereals, savory snacks, candy, cookies, cakes, ice cream, pizza with fatty processed meat toppings, sausages, lunch meats, and bacon. And consuming large quantities of those plays a significant role in obesity. In 2019, there was a study that found that a diet with large proportions of ultra-processed foods increases energy intake and results in weight gain. That study suggests that eliminating those foods from the diet decreases energy intake and leads to weight loss. So with heart disease, which is the leading cause of death in the U.S., in 2021, 1 in 6 deaths from heart disease were due to stroke. Certain diet-related factors increase the risk of stroke and heart disease, and they include a diet high in saturated fats and trans fats, a high intake of added sugars, too much sodium, and too much alcohol. A low-quality diet also contributes to other conditions that raise a person's risk of heart disease and stroke, including high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels, and obesity. So research indicates that the standard American diet is a significant risk factor for heart disease and stroke. In 2021, another analysis looked at the link between fried foods in the Western diet and heart disease. Compared with the lowest levels of consumption, high levels of fried food consumption were associated with a 28% higher risk of major cardiovascular events such as heart attack and stroke, a 22% increased risk of heart disease, and a 37% heightened risk of heart failure. Now, around 10% of people here in the U.S. have diabetes. 90 to 95% of them have type 2 diabetes. People typically have an increased risk of type 2 diabetes if they are overweight or have obesity. And in just the earlier part of this year, a research model of dietary intake suggested there could be a significant link between type 2 diabetes causes and diet. The researchers noted that insufficient whole grain intake and excessive consumption of refined rice, refined wheat, and processed meat may significantly contribute to the condition. Last year, a publication also suggested that the Western diet's high in fructose and fat may damage the insulin-producing pancreatic beta cells, which increases the risk of type 2 diabetes. The Western diet also may increase certain types of cancer. The Western diet high in red meats, fat, and added sugars tends to increase the risk of excess body fat and obesity, while the Mediterranean diet reduces the risk. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there's an association between overweight and obesity and a higher rate of 13 different cancer types, including esophageal cancer, breast cancer in postmenopausal women, colorectal cancer, uterine cancer, gallbladder cancer, cancers of the upper stomach, of the kidney, of the liver, ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, thyroid cancer, meningioma, and multiple myeloma. Individuals may be able to maintain a moderate weight and lower their risk of obesity-related cancers by following a healthy eating plan and getting regular physical activity. And then there are social and economic factors that impact the dietary choices that are available to individuals in a community, and they include income, education, employment, and social support. Looking at multiple social, economic, and geographical factors, they were associated with a poor diet. Frequently, it was among study participants who were younger, who were Native American, Alaska Native, or Black, who had lower income and educational levels, lived in a rural area, lived in a food desert where residents have a limited access to healthy foods, had never married, had obesity, did not exercise, smoked tobacco, overconsumed alcohol, had two or more chronic medical conditions, were less likely to cook at home and more likely to buy meals from fast food and full-service restaurants. So the food deserts piece of that is something that's interesting, because it's definitely healthier to buy food at the grocery store, take it home and cook it, you have absolute control at that point over things like added sugar, added salt. You can choose whole grain foods. You can choose legumes and beans more often. You can buy fresh produce. You can choose to have meatless meals or use beans as a protein source more often so that you can keep your red meat consumption under control. You can look for sales on organic proteins. I see them and I buy them and I stick them in the freezer. So you certainly have better control over your health and over your food and over your weight if you cook and eat at home. This is Food for Thought. Time for me to go out to another set of messages. And we will stop complaining about the standard American diet and get into some things that are really good for you when I come back from the break. So please stay with me.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
A dense fog advisory is in effect until 8 a.m. Taking a look outside, we're currently in the upper 30s to near 40 under clear to mostly clear skies with a dew point in the upper 30s, meaning that fog will hang around through sunrise. Then increasing cloudiness for the remainder of today, breezy and dry in the low 60s, cloudy for tonight, scattered overnight showers in the upper 40s. It's always nice to have some extra cash around the holidays. Stop into MJ Thomas Jewelers and get immediate cash today. Visit them at 3637 Main Street on the Paradise Green in Stratford. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about enhanced mobility. At Carlson, we take joint health seriously. That's why we offer Enhanced Mobility, a unique, high-potency blend of nature's most recognized nutrients for joint health, like Boswellia, curcumin, ginger, and tart cherry. Two soft gels taken daily promote healthy joint function and mobility. Here's to healthier joints and a happier you. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about Maximum Omega. It's a fact. Most of us don't eat enough fatty fish to reach the recommended intake of omega-3s. And that's where Maximum Omega comes in. Sustainably sourced from the highest quality deep cold water fish, Maximum Omega 2000 provides 2,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. And our Maximum Omega Minis boast 1,000 milligrams. Try it today. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more.
Are you taking the most important omega-3s? Carlson's Super Omega 3 Gems contains the omega-3s found in fish. Not only are omega-3s crucial for brain and vision development, they're also important for cardiovascular health as well. Each Carlson Super Omega 3 Gem soft gel supplies a full 500 milligrams of the omega-3s EPA and DHA. EPA and DHA are so important, even the American Heart Association recommends a daily dose for heart health. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence. All Carlson fish oils are sustainably sourced and tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Get your Carlson Super Omega 3 Gems from your favorite natural food store today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
Welcome back. I found an interesting report from the NYU Grossman School of Medicine, and they found that a midlife lifestyle modification in women with a heart-healthy diet in midlife, are less likely to report cognitive decline later. This goes with the thing I love to say, which is what's good for your heart earlier in life is great for your brain later in life. So in this case, doing a lifestyle modification and specifically adopting the DASH diet, dietary approaches to stop hypertension may improve cognitive function later in life for women, and women make up more than two-thirds of those that are diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, the most prevalent form of dementia. This was published just this week in the journal Alzheimer's and Dementia. It has implications for the approximately 6.5 million Americans over age 65 that were diagnosed with Alzheimer's last year. The number is expected to double by the year 2060. Subjective complaints about daily cognitive performance are early predictors of more serious neurocognitive disorders such as Alzheimer's. With more than 30 years of follow-up, the stronger the adherence to a DASH diet in midlife, the less likely women are to report cognitive issues much later in life. So the DASH diet includes a high consumption of plant-based foods that are rich in potassium, calcium, and magnesium. It limits saturated fat, cholesterol, sodium, and sugar. Long-standing research shows that high blood pressure, particularly in midlife, is a risk factor for cognitive decline and dementia. So they looked at information from a little more than 5,000 of the more than 14,000 women that are enrolled in the NYU Women's Health Study, one of the longest-running studies of its kind, that examines the impact of lifestyle and other factors on the development of the most common cancers among women. They also looked at other chronic conditions, not just cancer. And so they did cognitive complaint assessment, using six validated standard questions that are indicative of later mild cognitive impairment. This is about difficulties in remembering recent events or shopping lists, understanding spoken instructions or group conversation, or navigating familiar streets. Of the six cognitive complaints, 33% of women reported having more than one. Women that adhered most closely to the DASH diet had a 17% reduction in the odds of reporting multiple cognitive complaints. So what they're saying is it's important to start a healthy diet in midlife to prevent cognitive impairment in older age. Following the DASH diet may not only prevent high blood pressure, but also cognitive issues. And you know that the MIND diet, which is a combination of the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, has been shown to improve cognition in later years of life. And the closer the adherence, the lower the risk of developing Alzheimer's, for example. Both the Mediterranean and the MIND diet have been associated with some pretty significant reductions in the development of Alzheimer's. So the message is clear: no matter what we read, no matter what we report on, eating more plants is good for your health, watching out for saturated fat, cook with olive oil, eat avocados, eat the monounsaturated fats. That's what olive oil and avocados are. Get your omega-3 levels up. Those are polyunsaturated fats. And then lots of colorful fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds and beans. You know, it continues to be very consistent as far as what it is healthy to eat, and then what is healthy to drink. The less alcohol, the better, and sugar-sweetened beverages should just be off the table, not on the table whatsoever. There are too many great-tasting, sparkling waters out there now, every kind of fruit flavor that you can imagine. And still water with fruit or things like cucumber and mint is also delicious. So you don't need the added sugars that come in sugar-sweetened beverages. And sugar-sweetened beverages, that's the number one source of added sugars in the Western diet. That's where most of the sugar is coming in. Although you can't help but notice how many calories is in your typical latte or your typical chai tea latte at Starbucks. Good grief, you know, hundreds of calories. That's just not something that you can afford to do if you want to be a normal weight. So back to vitamin D. Current vitamin D recommendations may not protect against a cardiac event. Researchers say that the current vitamin D dosing recommendations are insufficient. So there's an ongoing clinical trial, but preliminary results say the current vitamin D dosing recommendations are insufficient to protect against heart attack and stroke. And they say increasing vitamin D doses could improve heart health outcomes in future studies. So the low vitamin D affects a big percentage of the adult population in the U.S. and is considered a potential risk factor for heart disease. So they're investigating whether or not vitamin D supplementation can prevent heart attack and stroke in people with vitamin D deficiency. That's ongoing, but they took a look. The trial is called Target D. It's being conducted at the Intermountain Health in Salt Lake City. And what they're showing is just giving patients some vitamin D is not enough to help them achieve optimal levels. And the some vitamin D that they were giving was 400 units. And the daily recommendation is 600 to 800 units, and that's not enough. That's not enough. So there are a lot of observational studies that have looked at vitamin D with adverse cardiovascular outcomes. They were not at all surprised that participants who were taking somewhere around 600 to 800 units, levels were very, very low. And vitamin D levels, lower levels of vitamin D are associated with an increase in cardiac events in a stepwise manner. So the current recommendation for vitamin D levels for bone and overall health is at least 20 nanograms per milliliter, but the data from this heart study says the level should be greater than 40 nanograms per milliliter. And of the treatment participants, almost 90% required vitamin D dosing of more than 2,000 units a day, and 14% of them required more than 10,000 units a day. At a 90-day period, still less than 65% of the subjects reached the 40 nanogram threshold, and another 25% needed 6 months more. So it doesn't raise quickly, vitamin D, and it's just something you want to be on for the long haul anyway. That is something you want to be taking daily, and you want to be testing at least once and maybe a couple of times in a given 12-month period. Now, you can do that at home. You don't have to go. Medicare pays for vitamin D testing, but if you don't want to go to a lab, there's a finger stick test, and you can order it at carlsonlabs.com. 25-OHD, it's easy to do, and then you mail it off to the lab, and you get your results in a couple of weeks, and you can find out where you stand. Because if you're not taking any vitamin D, I wouldn't even test. I promise you you're low. I promise you. So what I would suggest, if you're an adult body weight person, and you're somewhere in a kind of a good body mass index, I would start with 4,000 to 6,000 units daily, and I would test in 3 months and see where you're at, and then consider that your baseline. And if you're not, I want you to be 40 nanograms or higher. And if you're not, then you need to bump it up a little bit. And remember that I told you that 10,000 units on a daily basis is not excessive for most people. Now, what I want to back up and say is some people respond to vitamin D much more efficiently, and some people don't. So here in my house, I need more vitamin D to maintain in the 40s than my husband does. He can take about half as much vitamin D as I take. And, you know, that's not fair, but it is what it is. We are all biochemically unique. So I suggest you start with 4,000 to 6,000, take that for 90 days, and then do a test and find out where you are. And if you're, especially if you're below 30, because really the cutoff is 30, you don't want to be below 30. And for most optimal responses with vitamin D, you want to be at 40 or higher. And you may, you know, you may be surprised. You may, and it may be a happy surprise, and you find out, yep. And by the way, it's perfectly all right for you to be 40, 60, 70 nanograms per milliliter. 100 is where you would back off a little bit. So, we're not talking about outrageously high vitamin D levels, but to get these cardiovascular effect, there certainly seems to be a link between not getting enough vitamin D and a higher chance of heart disease. Vitamin D helps keep blood pressure in check, inflammation in check, the functioning of the endothelium. Deficiency may make diseases like high blood pressure and high cholesterol worse. So, you know, don't mess around with the vitamin D. Make sure that you're taking a supplement of vitamin D on a daily basis. This is Food for Thought. We're going out for our final break, and then I've still got more good information to share, so don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about melatonin. Melatonin, produced by the pineal gland in the brain, is a hormone that helps regulate when we fall asleep and when we wake up. Carlson offers melatonin in delicious vegetarian gummies for adults or strawberry lemon-flavored chewables. Safe for the whole family ages 4 and up, melatonin promotes relaxation and a healthy sleep pattern. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about omega-3 with vitamins D and K. We all know that omega-3s are key to cardiovascular and bone health. When blended with vitamins D and K, those benefits only get better. Vitamin D3 is important for heart health and calcium transport. K2, as MK7, is critical for directing calcium into the bones and activating important bone-building proteins. Try it as a liquid or a soft gel. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more.
Have you heard about Carlson Super 2 Daily?
No doubt you've heard about the benefits of eating more fish, but most of us don't eat omega-3 rich fish every day. Carlson Super 2 Daily is like having a serving of light tuna when you take your multivitamin. Take your vitamins, minerals, and a dose of Heart Smart omega-3s all in one formula, two soft gels. Carlson Super 2 Daily. It's the perfect foundation for your supplement program. Carlson Super 2 Daily is a comprehensive, balanced formula supplying essential vitamins and minerals in just two easy-to-swallow soft gels. Plus, Carlson Super 2 Daily provides the omega-3s, EPA, and DHA to support the heart, nerves, brain, and the eyes. Purity, potency, and freshness are always guaranteed. Look for Carlson Super 2 Daily at finer health food stores today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I'm back, and with Thanksgiving right around the corner and holidays in mind, I thought that it would be interesting to share a report that I read about turmeric and how it can help an upset stomach as much as some prescribed drugs for indigestion. Turmeric can be just as effective as omeprazole at reducing stomach acid associated with dyspepsia. And turmeric is a spice, and it has traditionally been used as an antacid in Southeast Asia. But this is the first direct comparison of turmeric's active ingredient, curcumin, with the medication omeprazole. Here in the U.S. and in other Western nations, doctors often prescribe omeprazole, which is a protein pump inhibitor, to help reduce acid when a person is experiencing dyspepsia or stomach discomfort. This was a new double-blind placebo-controlled trial that compared omeprazole's effectiveness to that of the natural spice turmeric, and they found that curcumin, the active ingredient in turmeric, is as effective as omeprazole at resolving dyspepsia. Now, how much did they have to take? They took 250 milligrams, two of those, so 500 milligrams, four times a day, and or 20 milligrams of omeprazole four times a day. So that was a lot of omeprazole because most people maintain on 20 or 40 milligrams of omeprazole. Nonetheless, both the curcumin and the omeprazole proved equally effective at reducing dyspepsia. So, you know, the stomach grinds food down into tiny little pieces, and that makes the food much more digestible because then it goes on into the small intestine. Dyspepsia is the inability of your stomach to accommodate the things that are coming into it. So it's a feeling of fullness, discomfort, nausea. Some people may have heartburn or acid reflux. So part of it may be acid, which is why for some people the omeprazole will work. But turmeric has been used in Thailand, traditional medicine doctors, for reducing dyspepsia-like symptoms. The use of turmeric dates back about 4,000 years. So this is people with functional dyspepsia, especially those with excessive gas, and it can be corrected by some herbs that have a hot flavor, and that's energetically speaking. Turmeric's not particularly spicy. But curcumin also has anti-inflammatory properties, and so it also has an effect on the gut microbiome. So remember that you do need stomach acid in order to assimilate calcium, micronutrients, iron, things of that sort. So that's where the adverse effects of omeprazole come in, because you may have a reduction in calcium absorption, and long-term use of proton pump inhibitors also activates the activity of osteoclasts, and that results in bone tissue breakdown. Also, a sufficient level of acid is required to kill several bacteria and viruses that enter the body through the oral route, so PPIs are like welcoming those pathogens. But turmeric, it's not a typical day-to-day prescription, because taking too much turmeric sometimes has people develop stomach upset. So a small amount is probably a better idea, but you can try turmeric rather than depending on a PPI. Now, something that improves cognition and mood, and particularly in adults that are overweight, strawberries. Eating strawberries has been linked to improving cognition and mood, and people that are overweight, people that have insulin resistance, and sometimes describe themselves as experiencing mild cognitive decline, need more anthocyanins, which are the bioactive compounds in strawberries and blueberries and other berries, because the anthocyanins are probably the neuroprotective agent at work. So, you know, as we come into festive occasions, a great substitute for the higher sugar kinds of desserts and sweets that are likely to be on the table is combinations of berries. And a really great way to start the day is a whey protein smoothie with mixed berries. It's delicious. You don't need added sugar. The whey protein is a great way to get a serving of protein. Those of us that are middle-aged and older need protein at every meal. But I'm here telling you, I don't want you eating red meat more than once a week. So you're thinking, where am I going to get my protein? I can't eat salmon three times a day. And no, nobody necessarily wants to do that. But you can get whey protein. And it is, you can get all kinds of flavors, but if you get the vanilla, it lends itself very well to the mixed berry addition. I know a lot of people, Carlson makes their liquid fish oils in lots of different fruit flavors. There's a mixed berry, there's just peachy, there's lemon, there's orange. The cod liver oil comes in green apple now, and lemon, and they're not fishy. You put your dose is 1-3 teaspoons full. Most people, 1 teaspoon is fine. And that goes in with the fruit into a whey protein smoothie and is just a really healthy way to start the day. I also, with teenagers in the house back when they were, their kids are older now, but back when they were teenagers, I used to make guacamole and put the fish oil in there. At that point, it was lemon flavor pretty much, and that lends itself because you're putting lime juice in guacamole. So, and the avocado itself is a great monounsaturated fat. It was an after-school snack on a lot of days of the week. Kids really looked forward to it because, tortilla chips and the guacamole with some onions and some peppers and the lime juice and that fish oil, and everybody got their omega-3s, and they, how kids are hungry coming in the door. But that's also a nice sort of opening course at dinner time. And if you do something like a mashed avocado, you can have avocado toast also in the morning. But if you do something like mashed avocado, you're not going to eat as much of the rest of the foods that you're having at that meal because avocado really satisfies your hunger. So you're getting an extremely healthy fat that's part of the Mediterranean or MIND diet profile, and you can blend your liquid omega-3 right in there, and you know that you're getting your omega-3 for the day also. And what is that going to do for you? Well, it improves your lipid profile. Omega-3 is associated with just, improving just about every marker of cardiovascular health. Great for your brain. Great for your immune system. So think about that as you're making festive recipes over the next week. And I wish everyone a very happy and healthy holiday season. And have a great time next week on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day. Get with your beloveds, and have a beautiful day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories, with your host, Jolie Root. Tune in again next time as Jolie sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought.
This is your community radio station serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. A mistrial was declared in the civil rights trial of Brett Hankinson, the former Louisville, Kentucky police officer, involved in the deadly and botched no-knock warrant raid involving 26-year-old Breonna Taylor in 2020. After 4 days of deliberations, a federal jury told a judge it was deadlocked and could not reach a verdict on the 2-count indictment